Would you guys agree that words are important? Words are vitally important. So this year, our theme kind of around here so far has just been new year, fresh start, live all in, okay? All in. All in means a lot of different things, but it means all in, okay? It means 100%, okay? Some of you read that Tom Brady quote that was going around about his retirement. Everybody was passing that thing around, and it was just admiring his tenaciousness when it came to his workouts and excellence and his commitment. There was no doubt that he was all in, okay? And as I've read that, it just even inspired me as a Christian. My gosh, the kind of determination that this man had for something like a game of football, all right? And I'm not, I mean, football's important. I mean, it's you know, you know what I'm saying, all right? But the reality is it's a game, okay? And we have an eternal crown, okay, that we are going to one day be able to throw at our Savior's feet, all right? And we have eternity. We possess eternity. And sometimes I wonder myself, I'm just challenged when I see that. God, am I giving you my very best? Am I giving you my all? Am I really doing everything I can to subdue my flesh, or am I feeding my flesh? And one of the areas that I felt God wanted us to look at about living all in was our words. Okay, living all in with my speech, the words that I express to other people, and living all in for God, because words have incredible potential, don't they? Incredible potential. Here's just a few things that I jotted down this last week. Words have the potential to bless, right? We know that. But they also have the potential to curse. They have the potential to encourage somebody. Man, Rodney, you're looking good today, brother. You betcha, man. Or to discourage somebody. You could say something quite the opposite and discourage them. Words have the ability to lift somebody's spirit up, okay? Or to tear them down. Words have the ability to boast of good things, boast of God, or they could boast in a prideful way of self and lack humility. Words can either bring together, okay, or words can separate, right? Words can create, and we know that. They can create environments that people are around. It's just like this morning, okay? His praise will ever be on our lips, okay? Now, as we began to declare that, there was something in the spirit realm that was happening, and it literally transformed this room from just a sterile room into a habitation for the presence of God. As we began to praise God, as we began to exalt Him and lift Him up and glorify His name, as we got out of the way and we said, I'm not going to focus on my problems right now, I'm going to focus on Jesus, who is higher than my problems. And as you and I did that, there was a sweet, tangible presence of God that began to just come and enter the room and touch lives. And wasn't it beautiful how it wasn't just one expression. We had the music, and we had people flowing in the prophetic, and we had people that were, you know, the young people were singing the song of their heart, and we had older ones singing the song of their heart, and we had people that were just expressing themselves freely to Jesus, lifting their hands in surrender, clapping to God, rejoicing and giving joy and all kinds of just exuberant joy to Jesus, because we created an environment that was conducive for that to happen, where Holy Spirit said, I want to go to that place. Hallelujah. Now, I understand in a very tangible way, you know, that the Holy Spirit is within us. But sometimes I think you know what I'm talking about. There's those moments where it just kind of shifts. And we go into a place where it's just like, oh, God, you're in this room. You're above my situation. That's why It's a very personal thing to me because it grieves me sometimes when you can see people that are just receiving and loving on Jesus. And it doesn't always have to be an outward expression, even though there's seven Hebrew words that actually we're commanded to give praise and adoration and shouts of praise and clap our hands and lift our hands and all of that. That's God's preferred method of being worshiped. It's in the Bible. Don't argue with me. It's in the Bible. But the reality is that sometimes we allow the circumstances and the pressures of life to just consume us, and we come into church and there'll be people that bust through and they receive that place of freedom, and then there's those people that just hang on for dear life. I am not going to smile today. It's the grump anointing. The grump anointing. I'm telling you, it's real. I've seen it. It's amazing when it leaves too, because then it's just like, boy, I kind of feel silly. Why was I like that? This is a whole lot better, you know? I'm just telling you, man, check the grump at the door. Man, it's okay. It'll be there when you get back out, but I'm just saying, we all can do it. Or the Eeyore anointing. You know, you could have got up this morning, looked out the window, and been like me, oh man, isn't it beautiful outside? Or you could have been like, oh geez, stinking snowing again. You know, huge difference, right? That's the grump anointing, all right? I'm just kidding. Let's keep moving, amen? All right, so here's the truth about it. You can look at a lot of different studies, whether they're secular studies, whether they're Christian studies. There's a couple things that they really agree on, and one of them is this, is that for every negative thing that is said to you, to me, or, you know, just whatever, there it takes five, minimum of five positives to counter that one negative, okay? 5-to-1 ratio. And that's, you know, the secular studies, Christian studies, whatever. And they have a tendency to agree on that, 5-to-1. So the words that we speak are pretty important. I was talking to somebody this week and he said, you know, one, aw shucks, or whatever you put in place of shucks, all right? Aw, whatever. All it takes is one aw shucks to outdo 1,000 attaboys. And I think you know what I'm talking about here. We have what is called, or what they phrase in that world, is a negative bias. Okay? We have a tendency to interpret things through a negative lens. Okay? A negative filter. I'm this way. I can very much be this way. Now, I would venture to guess that, you know, you might think one way about all of us. You know, we can look around here, and I've said this before, we see the best of each other here, right? We come in here, and we don't always let all of our stuff hang out, okay? But I will tell you this, if you asked my wife, you would probably get a different picture of old Pastor Craig, all right? I could ask Nancy, and I would get a huge difference with old Jake here, right? Or I could ask Kathy, you know, and vice versa. We could do this, you know, I mean, because you all think Miss Kelly here is just Miss Innocent. Let me tell you, all right? No. I love you, babe. You know that. 29 years. Man, she put something nice out there for me the other day. Woo! Facebook, that was great. Yeah. Right here, babe. But the reality is this, 5-to-1. And I think sometimes we really need to use some caution when it comes to our words. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. If you have your Bibles, and I'm also going to be looking at some scriptures out of James chapter 3. Randy's usually pretty quick on the draw, and he can get them up there. Let's go to verse 29. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, this verse probably going to make you go, ouch. all right? But it's okay. Sometimes we need to say ouch. But I hope it encourages us to want to strive for more. Here's what it says. 4:29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. Whose needs? Their needs, right? We want it to be our needs, don't we? All right? That it may benefit those who listen. So there's somebody that is listening to our speech and the words that we say, the things that we post on Facebook or whatever it might be, social media, okay? Great tool. Use it for God's glory. Use it as much as you can for God's glory. I want to encourage that. I'm not an anti-Facebooker, okay? I think it's a good thing. We have to have the right perspective with it, all right? But the reality is there's a lot of words that flow out there, but the scriptures are teaching us here that we need to have words that build other people up according to their needs so that it will benefit those who listen. And then here's a verse right after this, verse 30, tied to it. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ forgave you. Father, help me to articulate your words today. I don't want these to be mine. I want them to be yours, Father. And I just pray for your anointing and unction right now. Help us to have receptive hearts and ears to hear, God, what you are saying and speaking to us in the area of our speech. In Jesus' mighty name, and we all said together, amen. Amen. You know, there's just so much to be said here. There's kind of three main things. The first thing that's talked about here is unwholesome talk, okay? Now, when we think of unwholesome talk, there could be a lot of things that we think of. We mentioned it right out of the gate, the negativity, okay? Negativity is unwholesome talk. It's not helping anything. A critical spirit, okay? It's one thing to want to try to make something a little better or to improve it and strive for excellence and those types of things. But the only, when somebody has a critical spirit about them, okay, that's a whole different ball game. They can't find any good in anything, okay? I could open up an area that sometimes gets criticized. I'm thankful that it doesn't so much here. But, you know, the whole area of even worship music and stuff like that, people can be very critical, but yet when you see what's happening with our young people and the beautiful music that is coming forth from this next generation and how it's just focusing on the preeminence of Jesus and lifting him up, and it's nothing, you know, to say that, but we had a little bit of a blend here this morning, you know? Some of those choruses we sang there at the end are many, many years old, okay? And it's okay. We put them all together as the Spirit wants us to. But we don't want to have a critical eye for anything that I don't approve of, okay? We can have a critical spirit. And I know that that is not pervasive here. I know that. But it's just an area that some places have a real struggle with that, okay? I thank God for that every day that we don't. And I'm very, very thankful for that. But negativity, criticism, that's unwholesome talk. Another area is this area of
profanity. Profanity.
You know, we got Christian cussing. You do know that, right? Okay, we have little substitute words that we use for the real thing. Okay, so some of you are just looking at me like, what are you talking about, man? Yeah, we do. We have that. And here's the thing. If you got a problem with your mouth, I've always said this. It was really funny. I'll tell you a quick story. Back in the day, I was a plant manager for a company in Galesburg, and we had about 450 employees. And I remember walking the lines. I was taking through some executives from the company that we did business with. And I remember walking the lines and listening to the just vulgarities that were just everywhere and rampant and on all this. And, you know, at that time, it was just a little bit more, had a little bit more of an edge on it, okay? And this was 20 plus years ago. And I was sitting there, and the people that I was with, you could just tell it was just kind of like, so we ended up having all these meetings, and I didn't bring everybody in to criticize them or anything, but I did say this to them. And it was amazing what the Spirit did with this. I encouraged them. I tried to, you know, bring a real positive thing, and we brought them in with groups of like 20 or 30 at a time. But one of the things I said in every group was this. I said, hey, I need your help. I said, one of the things that is important is that we really put our best foot forward when we're trying to bring business in and whatnot. And I said, this isn't a big deal. And I'm not here to govern your personal life or anything like that. But I said this. I said, profanity is no sign of intelligence. And they were like, oh, you know, and you could just hear a pin drop in the room. And but yet, you know what happened after that? There wasn't this big backlash. There wasn't this big anti-Craig campaign going on because he's trying to stop cussing in the workplace. It wasn't anything like that. You know what happened? Because I did it in love, and I did it just, hey, could you help me out here a little bit? It raised the level of excellence in our shop, and the entire atmosphere began to change. They literally began to clean up the mouth. I couldn't believe it. I mean, there was, I would bet, if we could gauge it, there was probably a 60, 70% drop in F-bombs. Isn't that amazing? But the reality is this. There is profanity. There are things, there are probably better words that we can use. There's better words, and I'm not going to sit here and try to make you think I never say a wordy dirty, okay? I'm not one of those guys that's just living up here. I try to watch my speech, but you know what? I sometimes bang my head against a sharp object, or I smash my thumb, or something like that happens, and once in a while, uh-oh. I told you I almost had to repent when I ran into that thing in the dark the other day, but I didn't, thank God. But if my thoughts were included, which they are, you see what I'm saying? And we don't need to be the profanity police, okay? We don't need to go around to people. You need to understand that the world has no idea what you're talking about sometimes. That's just part of who they are. If you knew me before I knew Jesus, I was just F-bomb, 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 F-bomb. And I just had, that was just the way I talked. That's just the way the world was. And I think it's amazing. The tongue is very hard to tame. It really is, okay? It's controlled by our flesh, but I want to challenge us in the body of Christ to understand that it does talk about unwholesome talk, and that is part of it, okay? So I don't want to belabor that point, because here's another very important one. Gossip. Hey, Fred. Did you hear about Dale? Hey, Rodney, did you hear about Pastor? Oh, yeah. Crazy. Isn't that good? Yeah, good. Brent, did you hear about Megan? Oh, man, it's amazing. Oh, we love to get the dirt, don't we? We love to hear the juice behind it, man. We want to know what's going on. Yeah, I find it sometimes just humorous. I can tell who's talking as a pastor. Because I get texts from this, and it's the same language, and I'm just like, okay, they're talking. They're all talking. They're all trying to get the information. They're trying to get the know-how, and sometimes it's legit. Sometimes they just want to know the gossip. Well, it says that a gossip or one who repeats a matter can separate even the closest of friends. That's what the Bible tells us, okay? Gossiping, telling lies, bearing false witness for another, okay? is another form of unwholesome talk. It doesn't benefit the hearer. It doesn't lift another person up. A lot of times it's just tearing another person down. And sometimes I want to just challenge you this way. Has that person given you permission to share the details of that conversation with somebody else? You got it, Bree. Sometimes we've been guilty of it. I've been guilty of it. I just need to bounce it off of you. How about bouncing it off of God? How about bouncing it off the scriptures where it says that we need to be loving, we need to put away bitterness and malice, and we need to forgive one another just as Christ forgave us, you see? You know, sometimes we read these scriptures and then really Paul gave us a solution right there, didn't he? He said, if you could just put these things off, you wouldn't have to worry about all this stuff. You need to be kind to one another. Everybody say kind, kind. Our speech needs to be seasoned with grace, okay? Where we lift one another up and we build one another up. And I will tell you, this is probably one of the most difficult things for us to do as human beings, as even Christians, as pastors, okay? We have to find the good and see the potential. Isn't it great that Jesus, when he looked at you and me, he could have seen all the crud, all the debris, all the nastiness of our life, but yet when he looked at us, he chose to see something that was worth dying for. He chose to see something of treasure and value on the inside of you when nobody else did. I think that's worthy of praise. Amen? I love Jesus. But unwholesome talk, negative speech, profanity, vulgar speech, gossip, lies. Here's a couple of extra scriptures I just want to toss out to you. Ephesians 5:11, it talks about not speaking of the unfruitful deeds that were done in darkness. Now, I just want to mention this to you because I don't want you to get confused about this. We all have a past, right? Anybody got a past? Okay. There were probably things that, you know, we all did in our past that we're not proud of, okay? And there's things that, you know, man, I don't know if I should just be throwing this out there. There are times that the Holy Spirit will put it on your heart to share something with somebody because they just need to know that you're a safe place for them and that you've been through some of the same stuff that they have, okay? You don't have to share all the gory details. What I'm talking about, and we need to be very careful of this in our Christian lives because sometimes we can glorify the very things that Jesus set us free from. We can look back and we can almost talk about things in our lives as though they were some type of a trophy, okay? There's nothing that I look back in my past, okay? And I didn't do everything horrible, but there's a lot of things that, you know, a lot of people talk about and compare notes and do this and that, and I want nothing to do with that. The Holy Spirit spoke to me one time, convicted me with this scripture. He said, it's unfruitful to continue to talk about the things that you once did in darkness, as if you're just having general conversation. So I want to throw that out there, just as understanding that the scripture, God's word, is calling us to a higher plane as Christians. Can we agree with that? Amen? Okay. So again, I'm not coming down on anybody or anything like that. I just am sharing some of the challenges that I've had in my own life and in my own walk with Jesus. And these are things that Jesus has spoken to me about through his scriptures, okay? Isn't it amazing how when we actually look at God's word, it will shed some light on situations? I think that's pretty cool. All right. Okay, well, my goodness. Huh? No, I'm looking, yeah. Yeah, I'll get you out of here by 2. No. All right. We're going to bring this in for a landing, Randy. We're going to land this plane, right? Okay, all right. That's code. Today? Today, yes. Hallelujah. So we got through point number one. Okay? And that is unwholesome talk, negative speech, profanity, vulgar speech, gossip, lies, all of those types of things. In James chapter 3, it says that there is a potential. See, when you're a child of God, you have a stream, if you will, flowing in you and through you to the world around you. You have the living water, okay? Right? You have the living water of heaven flowing in you and out of you to the world around you. And in James chapter 3, it's talking about taming our tongues. It's incredible how our tongues can get us into so much trouble. If we would just be quick to listen and slow to speak, it would help us. I think it would help us not start so many fires that then we have to go back and try to put out. I believe that we have the potential for the fresh living water of heaven to be flowing out of us, but we also have the potential for that salty, brackish water to be flowing from us to the world around us. So our speech is so important, and I'll continue on this next week. But I just want to ask you, what are the words that proceed from your mouth? When you talk to your husband, man, when you talk to your wife, sir, when you talk to your friends, when you talk to your brother or your sister, when you talk to your mom or your dad, or the coworker that drives you absolutely bonkers, what do you do? What comes out of your mouth? Do they pick up the irritation? Because not only is the content of what we say important, but the how we say things is very important. I don't have enough time to really get into all that today. But I want us to consider our words in light of Ephesians 4:29, when Paul was calling the church to a higher plane. When Paul was calling the church to say, listen, let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. But only do it like this. Think about your brother. Think about your sister. Think about the people that you're talking to. And think about words that could actually build them up and not tear them down. Think about words that would actually be life-producing in their lives and not death-producing. You can't always go back. I bet we all have some words we'd like to take back, right? Oh, yeah. But all you can do, make amends, make a recommitment with my mouth. And I do this every day. I say, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable to you. I want my speech to be seasoned with grace. And I want my speech in the way that I talk and interact with others to be seasoned with the kind of love that Jesus showed me, the kindness that's called for in his word. Amen. Can we receive this today from the Lord? Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for this timely word. Thank you, Jesus. Help us, God, as we endeavor to build others up and not tear down. Help us, God, to consider our speech. And I'm not talking about just going around and policing things, Lord God. I'm talking about letting you have control of my lips and what comes out of my heart. Because really, it's more than just what I'm saying. It's a heart issue, Lord. Because your word tells us, God, that out of our mouths proceed things that are in our hearts. So, Lord, we want to surrender our hearts to you today, even as we sang and worship today. I'm available. God, our hearts are available to you today. And we're just asking you to lead us and guide us and strengthen us, Father God. I ask you to bless these dear people today, Lord God. And I pray that you would use your word, Father God, in their lives today to take them to a higher place. Use them, God, as instruments of kindness and righteousness as you've called us to be. Use them, God, to build others up. And as we build others, God, we build your kingdom. We love you, we praise you, and we give you all the glory. And we all said together, amen. Hey, God bless you. Have a great week in Jesus. Amen. Amen.